Good morning. I'd like to talk about bringing the Dharma to the national healing that we need. And I'd like to offer two sources of inspiration that have been helpful to me. One is the Gettysburg Address, and the other is some content from the Dhammapada. So let's start with the Gettysburg Address. I realize not everyone may be familiar with it. The background of it was the Gettysburg Address was given by Abraham Lincoln a few months after the Battle of Gettysburg. And for those of us who might not be students of the Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg happened in the beginning of July 1863 and is largely considered to be the turning point of the Civil War. It was the first time the Northern armies defeated Robert E. Lee, who then retreated from Pennsylvania back into the Southern states. And from that point on, the Confederacy never invaded the Northern states again. So it's a few months after the battle. Lincoln has come to town to dedicate a monument to the battle. And I'll paraphrase the Gettysburg Address. What Lincoln said was, "Some years ago, our ancestors brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the idea that all people are created equal. Now we are met on a great battlefield of the war to determine whether that nation or any nation so conceived and dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of the war, and it is meet and appropriate that we should dedicate this site. But in a larger way, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who fought here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. It is actually for us, the living, then, to take note of what they did here and to rededicate ourselves to this preposition of freedom, this preposition of equality. It is for us to rededicate ourselves to the ideas that they who died here gave the last full measure of devotion to, so that this nation, by the people, for the people, of the people, can long endure and will not vanish from the earth." So it's several things that Lincoln brought to this speech. One is that understanding the struggle for these ideals is an ongoing process because these ideals are fragile. Each generation must fight for these ideas, must struggle for them. As we here right now are in a testing whether these ideals will endure in our nation right now. The second thing that he strikes me from this address is Lincoln did not dwell upon the problems or the adversity of the moment. He didn't talk about his enemies. He didn't talk about corruption, slavery, backroom cross-dealing, and all the problems. He focused on the ideals held dear, liberty and equality, because he knew that that is what unites us. So there's a second element here that works against what Lincoln talked about in terms of upholding our ideals, and that is we have a meme in our culture of redemptive violence. And that meme is that good people can achieve good things through violence. And you find it all over our culture. Go to any Marvel comic books movie, the Avengers movie. It's all about, quote, the good guys killing and destroying in the name of righteousness. The idea that we can destroy or kill our way to peace. Think of the Christian hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. In Lincoln's day, it was widely thought that to bring up good children, you had to physically punish them. You had to physically be violent with them. The old meme, spare the rod, will spoil the child. The question is, does redemptive violence work? Does it work in the long run? You know, humanity has turned to war so often to resolve so many differences, you would assume it is a wonderful strategy. I have a book on my bookshelf called Unending War for Unending Peace, in which a historian traces every conflict in the American history and shows that it has produced the seeds, the conditions for the next conflict. Each war creates the conditions for the next war. For example, after World War II, the peace established, the treaty established, was so punitive, so harsh for Germany that it effectively created the conditions and caused World War II. In the Civil War, the North may have won the battlefield fight, but we did not effectively win the peace. We had Reconstruction failed after 10 years, and we had 100 years of Jim Crow repression and violence against people of color in this country. You can beat people up, but you cannot change their minds through violence. I remember as a small child once being spanked by my mother. I have no memory of what I did wrong or what the issue is, but the humiliation and rage I felt at having my pants pulled down and her beat me has never left me. In fact, our relationship never really recovered from that violence. There's a quote that I have like, and it's to the effect that people might forget what you say or do, but they will never forget how you make them feel. So that brings us to the Dhammapada. The quote in the Dhammapada that sticks with me is famous and says, hatred has never vanquished hatred. Only love vanquishes hatred. That is the law, ancient and inexorable. The only thing that truly ends separation and hatred is love. So in the Dharma, we might define love as the ending of separation, the collapse of separation between ourselves and another. Suffering comes from our sense of separation and alienation. And when we wake up from illusion and the dream and see that we are all one, as Christianity says, you treat your neighbor like yourself. Seeing everyone as yourself, no different from yourself, is a radically different way to walk through life. In fact, you know, after that 100 years of Jim Crow, i.e. winning the war but losing the peace, What did make the difference, in as far as this country has healed from slavery and racism, was Martin Luther King. Because he had a positive vision, a vision of unification. He had a dream, a vision where we would treat each other as common humans. That is what brought us to the Civil Rights Act of the 60s. And whatever healing has occurred in our country, the vision of unity, of treating each other as the same. So it's a powerful verification of the wisdom of the Dhammapada, the wisdom of the Dharma. So we've got a protest next weekend. And as Americans, we engage in this struggle to preserve the ideals upon which our country was founded. As patriotic Americans, it's our duty to make ourselves more visible. Make yourself more visible in whatever way feels right to you, whether you are making phone calls, writing letters, talking to people, serving the community, showing up at a march. But as the Dharma students, we understand that only what we can do with love, with lack of separation, can heal the world. How we show up makes a difference. Part of the Dharma is there's 8 worldly concerns, and this is how the world functions. And when we follow these concerns, we may have a temporary victory, but there is no healing. The 8 worldly concerns and their dyads or partners. The world is concerned with pleasure versus pain, gain versus loss, praise versus blame, and fame versus infamy or discredit. But these do not heal or transform the world. Whatever this will bring will simply be a struggle, and there will be winners and losers. We might win an election, we might bring down an administration, but if we want transformation and healing, it depends on how we show up. A guideline that's been really useful to me is to do only what I can do with love, to do only what I can do without separation, to do only what I can do with joy or from a place of inner peace. I know there's anger out there and we all share it, and it's important to hold that carefully. But bringing a higher ideal, looking at what we want, is a powerful way to come to this testing of the ideals of our nation. I find it helpful to imagine myself as somebody who might feel differently than me politically, coming by and viewing whatever I'm involved with and asking myself, would it make them feel? Would they feel like, well, I disagree, but I understand that? Or would they feel reviled and judged or made fun of? It's a good guideline. We're looking out for everybody, not just the people who might agree with us. So, my friends, just wanted to offer that both as the inspiration of the giants who have come before us and offer us inspiration, and also to encourage us to be visible, to support the ideals we hold. Liberty, the idea of everyone is created equal because we are one. Thank you, and thank you, my fellow teammates in the world.